Up on the tops of the Great Divide, 300 miles to the east, snow lay thicker than in many years. But no rain had fallen west of Burren Junction since the monsoonal drenching of the previous summer. People in Gilly were speaking of another drought. It was overdue. It must come. Perhaps this would be it. When Maggie saw her mother, she felt as if an awful weight settled upon her being. Maybe a leaving behind of childhood, a presentiment of what it was to be a woman. Outwardly, there was no change, aside from the big belly. But inwardly, Fee had slowed down like a tired old clock, running time down and down, until it was forever stilled. The briskness Maggie had never known absent from her mother had gone. She picked her feet up and put them down again, as if she was no longer sure of the right way to do it. A sort of spiritual fumbling got into her gait, and there was no joy in her for the coming baby, not even the rigidly controlled content she had shown over Hal. That little red-haired fellow was toddling all over the house, constantly into everything, but Fee made no attempt to discipline him, or even supervise his activities. She plodded in her self-perpetuating circle of stove, work-table, and sink, as if nothing else existed. So Maggie had no choice. She simply filled the vacuum in the child's life and became his mother. It wasn't any sacrifice, for she loved him dearly and found him a helpless, willing target for all the love she was beginning to want to lavish on some human creature. He cried for her. He spoke her name before all others. He lifted his arms to her to be picked up. It was so satisfying, it filled her with joy. In spite of the drudgery, the knitting and mending and sewing, the washing, the ironing, the hens, all the other jobs she had to do, Maggie found her life very pleasant. No one ever mentioned Frank, but every 6 weeks Fee would lift her head when she heard the mail call, and for a while be animated. Then Mrs. Smith would bring in their share of whatever had come, and when it contained no letter from Frank, the small burst of painful interest would die. There were two new lives in the house. Fee was delivered of twins, two more tiny red-haired Cleary boys, christened James and Patrick. The dearest little fellows, with their father's sunny disposition and his sweetness of nature, they became common property immediately they were born, for beyond giving them milk, Fee took no interest in them.